I need to publicly confess this morning I sinned a grievous sin against Kieran, calling him Rory, and only when I got in the cloud, and so I promptly sent my apologies via text, and he graciously forgave me, so thank you. I needed to say that publicly, though, because it was a public transgression, and so thank you for your understanding in that. You have your Bibles in John chapter 13, and I'm going to read we're going to take the text from one verse, but I want to read four to give us a little bit of background tonight. And I will ask you, as our habit, I know it's been up and down tonight, would you just join me standing one more time through the Word of God being read in verse number 1 of chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. By the way, don't you love the way He addressed death here? Depart out of this world unto the Father. That's what death is. That's what it's all about. And I appreciate that perspective. But going on, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Verse 3, Jesus knowing that that the Father had given all things unto His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God. Verse 4, look at that verse, our text, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. And then we know the rest of the story there. He washed His disciples' feet and had a conversation with Peter. But I want to emphasize that verse number 4 tonight. And I'd like to just speak on this subject, how to pass on a servant's heart. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us. Lord, would You speak to our hearts tonight? You know my heart, Lord, and I don't want this to become my message at all. I want it to be Yours, and I pray that You would guide and direct. And Lord, may this be something that You give us help for, Lord, wisdom from Your Word. Very practical tonight, but I ask that You would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you know, John 13 is the beginning of the discourse that Jesus gave to His disciples in the upper room on that last night before He was to be crucified. And we know that chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and even chapter 17 are all about what He told His disciples and speaking to them. But He did something right at the beginning that kind of, I think, set the tone for whatever else He was going to talk about. And that was, He took off His outer garments, His robe, so to speak. He put a towel on Himself, as a servant would, girded Himself with that towel, took a basin of water, knelt down at each one of His disciples' feet and washed their feet. Now, this was something that was well known in the olden Eastern days, especially in the New Testament era, early New Testament era, because as you were walking around, your sandals would keep the dirt off. You get dirty feet. You come into someone's house, and it was polite to offer to wash their feet and to clean them after they've come on a journey or whatever the case might be. And so the servant was often in charge of that. It was a kind of a demeaning task. You had to bow down before someone, get down on your hands and knees, and you know, take someone's feet. Not the most dignified part of us, right? But we would take the feet, and they would wash it and make it clean, and in doing so, showing them honor, showing them that they were received and welcomed, and service would have been the spirit there. And so this is what the Lord Jesus was passing on to His disciples. And I think it's interesting to me that after 3 years of serving, walking with the Lord, and learning from Him and hearing His heart and all of these things, He still had to show them what it was to be a servant. Now, they had seen that the Lord Jesus was a man who didn't have any place to lay His head, and He really didn't have any other place, anything to call His home. He went around serving people. That was all He did. And many of these men were called away from an occupation where they were serving themselves. Tax collectors were well known to be kind of self-serving. They would rob from people and take their own money, their cut from there. Peter was a fisherman along with his brothers, and so that was a well-being, meaningful job, but it was to serve their needs and to make them a living. But Jesus was changing their focus. And as followers of the Lord, He had to teach them not to look after their own things and after the things of themselves, but under the things of others. And you know as well as I do that the Christian life really is a life of service. Let me say that again. The Christian life is a life of service. All right? And what I'm saying by that is, I'm not just trying to evoke a response, but I want you to get the point of the message. God called us, the Lord Jesus called us to serve one another. In love, serve one another. Right, Brother Jeff? Owe no man anything but to love one another. Serve one another. I say that because Brother Jeff reminds me of the verse all the time. We love that verse. Here's another one. He tells us that he wants us to serve him. Right? How many are with me so far? Good. Okay, good. So we need to serve each other. We need to serve the Lord. That's our whole life. Now, church, listen to me tonight. I'm not going to preach a technological message or technical message. I'm not going to preach a doctrinal message. I just want to preach a very practical message tonight about how we can transfer the spirit of service to someone else. That's exactly what Jesus had to do. It's interesting, when a person is saved, they don't automatically get the spirit of service. Now, I think there is a potential by which God plants within us through the Holy Spirit a heart to serve, and the potential is there. I think the promise is there, but it's not lived out. Much like what I mentioned this morning. It's like when we get saved, we're in the kingdom of God. We're in His family, but we've got to be taught and trained about how to practically live these things out. And that's what Jesus was doing that night. He had taught them, he had shown them and all these things, but that night he exampled something that was very critical. And church, tonight I want you to get this, because I think we're missing some of this in some areas of our church. And that is how to transfer the spirit of service to the next generation, specifically our children. But it can be maybe someone that's just been newly saved or whatever the case. How do we transfer the spirit of service to those around us? I'm going to be very honest tonight. I'm going to talk to moms and dads. All right? And most of us are moms and dads. If you're not, that's okay. But here's the thing. Even if you don't have children at home right now, this message still applies to you. All right? It's very, very important that we hear what God says, because I believe, really, the sense of God working and using the next generation is dependent in many ways upon this thing. Now, I'm going to temper this a little bit and say that just learning to serve for service's sake is not the key. It's not just being busy for busy's sake. It's not just doing things for doing things' sake. There's a spirit behind it and a motive. And I want to just speak on that, if I can, tonight, briefly. And I just have three words that came to mind as I was thinking this, and I'll get to that in just a moment. I said that service doesn't come naturally to us. Instead, what comes naturally to us? Selfishness. Selfishness. We, from the moment that we were born, actually the moment we were conceived, we have within us only a concern for ourselves. That's the plague of sin, really, is that we're all about ourselves. And the blessing is that when we're saved, God creates in us a new spirit. He puts in us a new life, and no longer are we serving self, but we're serving the Lord, and we're going to serve one another. So there's a whole paradigm shift. There's a whole dynamic change of what it is that we think about and how we do this thing called the Christian life. It is a life of service, and we're born selfish. Therefore, something needs to happen inside of us. And tonight I see that there are two things that must happen in each person's life in order to be a servant as God would have us to be. Now hear me out on this. Number one, we need to be saved. You know, nobody can truly be a servant until they're a child of God. Because up until that time, they're only serving themselves. Now they can do acts of service. They can be selfless in certain things. But their life is not about service. Their life is about self. And I would argue, even people who are very religious and who gives up many things. Maybe we know people who just give up all things and they become completely serving someone else. Even in that case can be self-serving. I'll tell you why. I believe that that kind of self-service is, I want to do something that will guarantee my home in heaven. And so it all comes down to what I can do to get there. And that's really what religion's all about. It's really about earning your way to heaven. But that's not what Jesus said. And so the spirit of service is not born out of obligation or even self-interest. It's born out of a love for the Lord. All right? So that's really the point that we're trying to make. So number one, you need to be saved. That life needs to be implanted at salvation by the Holy Spirit. He does that. But number two, I know and you know that some of those things need to be taught and matured through exercise. All right? That's why the Bible says, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Now, follow with me on this. Service must be taught and exampled through exercise in order for it to come to full fruit. Now, parents, you're doing a disservice to your children if you do not cultivate an example, a spirit of service. God has given us the privilege to be able to do that. Now, we as parents, you know that we have a very limited time by which to teach our children anything. Whether that's on a day-to-day basis or a lifetime, we have a very narrow window of times to example these things to our children. And what I'm going to encourage you tonight is to actively, persistently, and deliberately design your life. Are you listening tonight? Design your life so that you can example this to your children. You've got to do it intentionally because it will not work otherwise. It has got to be a priority. It has got to be something that we do intentionally. Let me just stop and say this. What you do, your kids were going to follow. And I've heard it said sometimes this way, what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. I think God is good, isn't that right? So that doesn't necessarily condemn us to a life of failure if we had bad parenting. But I'll tell you this, parents, you're missing an opportunity, especially if you name the name of Christ. Listen tonight, if you name the name of Christ and you are intentionally trying to serve the Lord, but you lack in certain areas, you are withholding something from your kids. It is absolutely critical. And I want to encourage you that we would understand tonight this sensitive nature and the urgency of training our children in this way. They can know math, they can know history, they can know grammar, but if they don't know, have a servant spirit, they will not be successful as a Christian. All right, so let me just take you through what I have thought, three words tonight. Number one, example. The question is, how do we pass on a servant's heart? Number one, example. Here's the question I would add to that. What message are you sending? What message are you sending? Would you just take a minute and think about that? I'm not saying what do you hope you're sending. I'm not asking tonight what are you intending to send. I'm asking what message are you sending? Now the only way we can know that is if we back up a little bit and look at what we're sending as an example. What are you showing your sons and daughters? It's not about what you say. It's not about what you hope you're doing. It's about what is actually coming out in your action. You've heard the term before, or the phrase, your walk talks, finish it with me, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. In other words, you can say all you want, but your kids are going to pick up on what you do more than what you say. Someone said it this way, more is caught than taught. I could probably talk to anybody, and probably anybody could talk to my kids, and if they knew me, they would know, or they knew their mother, they would know probably immediately whose kid they were, right? And it's the mannerisms, it's the look, it's everything else. And I didn't teach them how to say certain words. They just pick up on it because that's what dad says, right? Or how they say certain things. Maybe it's a certain pronunciation of something or whatever. I'm just saying tonight that our kids pick up on things that we don't even realize, and yet God wants us to help them to be a servant by our example. Service of necessity is sacrificial. I point back to the Lord Jesus Christ that night. His service to his disciples was sacrificial. He stood up from his dinner and he girded himself, laid aside his robes. And I'm just saying all of those things are understanding that there is a service spirit that is sacrificial, giving up something that we have, that we desire to show to someone else. By nature, we're selfish and we look only to our own needs. A mature believer will be able to look outside of themselves and see the need or opportunity around them. And here's what I want to say tonight. Dads and moms, here's the key. We need to be intentional about giving them opportunity to be able to serve. And God's given us a wonderful tool in the local church. Now, I'll just say tonight that I was raised all of my life growing up in church, and praise the Lord for it. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I had to serve the Lord in the local church. Now, I know there's been a lot of people that have been raised in church, and they get up and say, I'm done, I'm sick of it. And I'll tell you, it's not the church's fault. It's because they've got a poor example or poor leadership or whatever. Many, many reasons. It could be something in their own heart. But the church tonight is a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to serve the Lord and to show how to serve the Lord. Let me give you some examples of that. All right, so here's a very practical thing. Let me take something very innocent, all right, and maybe just use that as an example. We're having the men breakfast on last Saturday, right? And we need to set up some tables after the service. Now, this is hypothetical. We don't need to tonight, but we need to set up some tables after the service. So if you could help, that'd be great. I'd love to have some help in that after the service. What's our spirit? What is it that we're looking to do? Now, this is no shame. Here's what I'm saying tonight. I mean, we have things to do. People are busy. I'm not making this a measure of your spirituality. It's an example. So the example is this. What is my spirit? I want to help out. All right? So as a dad, I might say to my sons, hey, go move those chairs in there. Well, while dad goes and, sits on the bench out back. Right? Or, I don't know, whatever. No, I mean, me personally, I may say, hey, boys, would you set that up? I'm going to go do something else. But here's what I'm trying to say. Our spirit of service needs to be exampled. I need to be, as a dad, willing to go and do that before them. I need to be willing and going to that situation and saying, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show them how to do it in the right way so that they know how to do it. I'm going to example that to them. Moms, I think this is the same way. You need to example to your daughters and to your sons what it is to have a servant's heart. What is your spirit in this thing? What are we showing our children, really, when we are doing the exact opposite of what we want them to do, or we're not giving ourselves intentionally to that which we want them to do? I'm saying tonight we need to be the right example. And the church gives us a great place to do that. Maybe the idea is a visitor comes in and we want to say hi to that visitor. I'm going to go up and I'm going to shake their hand and I'm going to say, welcome today. It's good to have you. We're so thankful you're here. Guess what? Kids pick up on that. That's a blessing, isn't it? But I guarantee you tonight that if you're not doing this, your kids aren't going to do it either. Now, again, the measure of our spirituality and success is not whether they can shake a hand or not, but I'm saying tonight it's a spirit of service by which we can transmit that to our children by example, and we can say, I want my children to have the spirit to serve the Lord in the right way. Can I just give you a personal testimony tonight? My dad is a servant. And I'll say it this way. I'm his son. I think he understands. We've had this conversation. I think he's a servant almost to a fault. Can you do that? Here's what I'm saying. He would rather do something than ask somebody else to do it. Now, that's been a great example for me. And any given day, my dad would be maybe sitting at the desk and studying. One moment and the next moment, he's in fixing a toilet because it broke or it's stopped up or whatever. Or, maybe there's a bus that's breakdown, so he throws his coveralls on, calls onto the bus, fix the bus. Or whatever the case might be, he was just ready to do it. No complaining, no grumbling, no, I don't have time, just go do it. And oftentimes it was, hey, come along with me, we need to go fix this. I'll tell you, that is just absolutely impossible to substitute in the heart of a young person. Now, church, tonight, the example is not something that I want for someone else to have. I want to have that example as a dad to my children. And if I'm anything today, if I'm anything at all, it's because I had a good example of what it was to be a servant. And if you're anything, you have that good example. Somebody invested in you. Someone showed you how to be an example. And tonight I want to encourage you that you would be able to have that thing in your heart, that intentionality. And that I come back to the local church. There is no better tool to teach someone to be a servant than a local church. I'm telling you, God knew exactly what he was doing when he said serve one another, and he gave us the local church to be able to practice that. And may I tell you tonight, parents, if you're not using this to the fullest, and I'm talking about using opportunities to serve within the local church, you're missing an opportunity. You're missing it, and you're going to regret it when you get older. I'm not trying to shame you tonight, but I'm just saying we have an opportunity to, at our hands, our fingertips. We've got young children. Listen, all the kids in the church tonight, would you raise your hand if you're under the age of 15? 15 and older and younger. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 people. And I'm not sure I got everybody. If we have 50 people in here, we have almost half that are young people tonight. And then you take people that are 15 and older, and you got a whole other dynamic. What am I saying tonight? God has put within our hands the opportunity to teach these young people how to have a servant's heart. And I believe we're missing it in many cases. We're not all. It's not all bad. I'm not saying we're failing in all this. I'm saying we have great opportunity here. Teach them how to have a servant spirit by your example. They're not going to learn a servant's heart by coming and sitting in church. Now, I think that's great, and you need to. And to some degree, that is what we need to do. But the servant's heart is, what can I do to serve? What can I do to make this count? How can I be involved? What can I do? And that's something that if it's not in your heart, it won't be in theirs. And so, parents, I'm encouraging us tonight that we would do this. Moms, I just as important, the example, your spirit of service in these things. I praise the Lord for that, that God's given to us this opportunity. Parents must example it. Older men, you need to example the servant spirit. Older women, you need to example the servant spirit. I would say it this way, if we would have servants, we must be a servant. Listen tonight, if we want the next generation to raise up in our church and be laborers for the Lord, and I'm talking about people who want to serve the Lord, not of obligation or duty, that won't last. That's a human concept. But if we have someone that loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord, it's going to come because we have that heart. And so God wants us to example this in our lives. May I say it just more practical? Don't send your child to do something. Do it with them. Show them then the right spirit how to do it. Can I say that again? Don't send them to do something. Show them. Take them and do it with them. And then show them the right spirit, how we do it with the right heart. That is, we do it with the best of our ability. We do it with our whole energy. We do it until it's done and we make it the right way. And then not only do we go with them and do it, and we show them the right spirit, but we'll show them the right way to do it, and we'll show them the right process, and we'll give them a skill and all of these things. Listen, do we need to count the ways? Let's talk about cleaning the church, shall we? We have opportunity to clean the church. Oh, I've got to go clean the church again. Man, bummer. I don't have time. What are we doing? We're exampling the wrong spirit. I know things get busy. I'm just saying, let's take a measure of what our example really is showing. Is it showing, praise God, it's wonderful to serve the Lord? Or I can't even find the willpower to do what I have to do. I'm saying tonight, let's show them by example. What about Brother Peacock has people mowing the lawn? Praise the Lord for him. I appreciate everybody that does that. You know, that's a great opportunity to teach the younger generation how to do it and do it right. We're not just going to run around and mow and get it done. Oh, we're going to trim and we're going to clean up and we're going to make sure we get it all and we're going to take care of the equipment and all of this stuff. What are we doing? We're showing them how to be a servant. We have to take care of our property and maybe take it over into the other realm. We need to prepare food and we need to make all these things happen and we need to do all these service activities. And the spirit by which we do them says a lot to the next generation. And by the way, you say, well, I don't have a bad spirit about it, but maybe we just have an apathetic spirit about it. I just don't care. I don't even care enough to pay attention. I don't even care enough to put, this first and this second, and I don't really care enough to do all this. You're speaking, you're preaching a message that's louder than I could ever preach. By our apathy in the lack of example for the Lord. May God help us to be the right example and to show the right example. Number two word is this. Number one is example. Number two is investment. Investment. You see, the servants in the scriptures were always given something to use for the master's good. We call it stewardship. That's what servants were always all about in the scriptures. And so God's given us the opportunity. And I just want to say tonight that service is really a stewardship of investment. How many are with me on that? Okay, good. Are you just making sure? So here's what we're saying. Stewardship of investment is, what do you count valuable? What do you count valuable? See, what we count valuable, we invest in. Maybe they say, oh, well, I don't have time to help out, or I don't have time to do that.
I understand time, believe me, but the question is, what do you have time for? Again, I'm not trying to shame us tonight, but I am trying to get us to think, what is our life really about? You say, well, I don't have time to, you know, invest in services, ministries for the Lord, or serving in the local church in any way. I really don't have time for all this. I'm just saying, okay, then the question is, what do you have time for? What is it that you're making important? And then here's the question for you. By what basis do you make that valuable? On what basis are you valuing your life? So here's this is valuable, okay? What says that that's valuable? Well, I do. My life is counted worthy while I do this thing or whatever, this potential activity or whatever it is. And I'm just saying we better make sure that our value system is what God says is valuable. We better make sure that what we say valuable is really valuable for eternity. Because that's what we need to be investing in as a church. That's what we need to be investing in as a mom and dad into our children and into the lives of these next generation. Because really, that's the point. And I'll just say this, that is an act of faith. That's really where faith meets the proverbial road, if you want to say it that way. Because if I say that this is valuable, it's really not valuable, then it's not faith, it's sight. Maybe my career, maybe my pastimes or whatever is valuable. And I think this is valuable. God says this is valuable. And when we put trust in what he says, we're living by faith. And if we go back to the message this morning, that's what overcomes the world. So the question is, what are you investing in? Look back over your life. What is it that you found valuable? And I'll say this, you know, cleaning the toilet at church may not seem to be valuable. Mowing the lawn at church, or making a meal for church, or cleaning, you know, the church, or even, you know, playing an instrument, or singing, or being kind to someone at church, whatever it might be, it may not seem valuable in the moment, but if you can understand what the greater scope is, and understand it's for God's service, it becomes very valuable. What are you investing in? It's all about investment. Luke chapter 12 and verse 34 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I believe tonight that we need to have the investment priorities in our life. Moms and dads, where is your priority? Just do an assessment. What's priority to you? Now, I'll tell you this. You're going to do a lot of damage if you drag your kids around saying, we got to go serve the Lord. Come on. Let's go. You may be investing, but you've missed the whole point of example. And you're just undoing whatever it is that you were trying to do. You've got to have both. And then we have to be able to instill in them not just an activity or a habit, but a belief system that says, this is the right thing. This is what God wants us to do, and here's why. His word tells us this. So it's about an investment into eternity. And I believe that we need to be able to invest in eternity by putting service first. By the way, I was talking to Brother Peacock about this yesterday, and he mentioned back in the book of 2 Chronicles, and I was interested by that. I went back and did a little research on this, and it's interesting that the kings at that time, specifically Josiah is the one that I read, he set people in order for the service of the Lord. Now, isn't this interesting? A couple of excerpts, I'm not going to read through it, but if you were to go back to 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 2, and he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And then it goes on, verse 15, and the singers, the sons of Asaph, by the way, if you read the book of Psalms, you'll see Asaph many times written in there, were in their place according to the commandment of David, and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthan and the king's seer and the porters waited at every gate, they might not depart from their service, for their brethren the Levites prepared for them. Here's what I'm just saying. It's interesting to me that no matter where the service of the Lord was going on, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, God had service as really the core of it. Do you know how much goes into a service like this? Just an hour and a half or whatever the service time is. There's a lot of preparation that goes into that. We have songs and music and ushers and, you know, we've got guys doing different things and we've got people here and there and pastors prepared. There's a lot going on. I'm just saying there's somebody is in those places fulfilling those things. You ever thought about what happens if, you know, Brother Peacock, what's the word we use tonight, departs from this earth and goes to meet his maker? I'm just, you know, have you ever thought Mr. Perkins doing all the music? Hours behind the scenes. We don't even see. I mean, we got people running all kinds of different things. What happens if they're not here anymore? None of us are guaranteed another breath. And I'm not trying to scare us tonight, but we got to think about this. Are we investing in the future? Are we making plans for the next generation? And again, it's not about our power, but it is about our example. It's about our investment. It's about our priority. What part are the next generation going to be playing in this? And we've seen a little bit of this. Praise the Lord for a generation that's come up and serving the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. But we can never lose sight of that. And if we, for a moment, forget that we are trying to pass on the spirit of service to the next generation, we're going to miss it, and the generation's going to come and go, and we've missed that opportunity. I was thinking about some of these kids standing up here. I say kids. Kieran's a young man, and JD's shooting up like a sprout, and Ethan, you know, and it's not going to be long, and these guys are going to be graduating. And before we know it, it's done. We've lost the opportunity. Or we've invested into the opportunity and made good on it. You blink and it's over. I can't believe I have a 21-year-old son. Help us. I'm just saying, I don't know where it went. And all I can say is praise the Lord for if there was any kind of investment, but I always think to myself, as a dad, I didn't do enough. I wish I would have done more. Man, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have instilled this. So my younger boys and girls are reaping the benefits of it. You will come and do this with me. Oh, wait, I got to be the right example. We're going to do this for the Lord. No, but here's the thing. There's an urgency about what's going on because I realize our time is short. Now, I mean, our kids are growing up under our noses. And I'm saying tonight that if we don't take the opportunity now, we're going to miss it. I was reminded, I think my wife taught me this. there's only a narrow window of time for a song sparrow to learn the songs from his or her mother. Now, it's there. The syrinx, the little sound box that they use, it's there. But they have to be taught how to use it. And they've done experiments. They've kept a little baby away from the mother. And for a time, there's a narrow window with it. And then if they're apart from the mother, they don't hear any of these songs, that bird will never sing. Now, I'm just, it's interesting to me that we see that in nature. We see that in all around us. But it's the same with us. We expect our kids to know things that we know, but we're not showing them. We expect them to come out a certain way and have a certain work ethic and have a certain spirit of service, and yet we're not investing in that at all, or maybe not enough. I'm saying tonight, we just need to be urgent in this matter of investment. Number one, example. Number two, investment. Number three, and maybe this is something I've already said, but affection. What are we loving? Or what do we love? I believe there are three different ways to know and identify what we love. And I think you could probably help me out with this. Now, guys, if you were at the breakfast yesterday, you're disqualified from answering this because you already know it. What are three ways, or what's one way that we know or we can figure out what we love? What is it? Okay, time is number one, what we spend our time doing. Priority would go along with time, I think, but that's good. Number two, money, finances, what we spend our money on. And then number three might be a little more hard, a little difficult, what we talk or think about. I'd say it's the same thing. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So time, talk, and talents are our three things that show us what we love. So don't say what you love, show what you love. Okay, so moms, dads, what do you love? Let your life, let your time, let your money, let your talk speak for what you love. Sometimes what we think we love and what we actually love are two different things. Right? I love God. Well, let's go look and see. How much time have you spent with Him? How much have you invested in His work? How much do you talk about Him? Whew. Maybe I don't love God so much. You know, I love my wife. Okay, let's talk about that. How much time have I spent with her? How much money have I invested in her? How much do I talk about her and talk to her? You see, these are really the things that matter, isn't it? So really then, what do we love? I just want to help us to see tonight that we need to identify these areas in our life that help us to know that what we are doing and what we are being as an example is the right example. It's the right affection. It's the right investment. And so the question is, are you then a servant? Are you investing and exampling and loving the right things? You say, well, I don't have any children at home anymore, and you know, I feel like maybe this isn't as important. I would argue with you that it's probably just as important for you to be the right example for those around you. It's really not specific. I think there's an urgency with the young people, but the young people are watching others. And I'm thankful that there are good examples, even though we parents may fail in so many areas. Amen. And I'm thankful for the good examples of people in our church and in my life that have been the right example for things. And I praise the Lord for that. We're counting on you. You say, well, I'm old. I don't have any purpose anymore. No. If you've got breath in those lungs, you've got purpose. And one of them is to be the example of a servant. And to have the spirit of what you love and what you put first, what you're investing in. It's so important in our lives to do that. I'll just end with this thought. My dad used to say there are three kinds of people when it comes to doing work. The first kind of person hears about work to be done and they run the other way. And man, they're hiding all the time. I remember my dad, it used to toast him to no end. When we had something going on or he needed something and we were nowhere to be found. You know, and I'm telling you, it's frustrating. Now as a dad, I've grown up and learned exactly how he felt. You know, it's like, man, they're supposed to be here. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, and I'm here and we're supposed to be doing this together, or I've given the job and they're not there. So the job comes and they run, all right? Not good. Not good. Number two, the next spirit is a person that really does, they don't have an aversion to it, but they're not going to do it unless they're asked. Or they don't see it. That's possible too. They just don't see what needs to happen. I think as parents, part of what we need to do in training in a servant's heart is to help them to see what needs to be done. I didn't talk much about this, but a servant will see what needs to happen and they'll fulfill that need, often even before it's asked or before they're asked to do it. That really truly is a good spirit. But here we're talking about someone who just either doesn't know or won't unless he's asked to do it. All right, so that's the second one. It's better, but not ideal yet. Then the third one is, and probably the best one, is the person that sees what needs to be done and does it. Maybe ask, maybe not ask. They just do it. And I think that's really the spirit that we need to exhibit. And if we see this in our children's lives, hey, there's work going on. We got to set up chairs. Boom! Right? As a dad, man, I'd be on that faster than you can say mustard. Because that, to me, shows me I'm not doing what I need to do with my kids to show them what needs to happen. Now, they may not be able to do it. You know, they could push one chair. Come on, you push that chair. I'll push this. Come on, let's do this. Or you help Daddy. Let's push this around. Now, I'm out of that stage. I don't think I've said to Caleb, help Daddy do this in a while. So, but, you know, I've still shown him how to do stuff, him and Nathan, whatever. But here's the point. I'm saying that we need to make sure we're instilling the service that says, I want to be involved and attentive and ready and active and engaged, because that's the heart of a servant. This is a good thing, all right? And with enough organization, we can make something happen. This is not a good thing, all right? When there's work to be done, I'm nowhere to be found. That's not good. This is better. This is best. Okay, I think we've got that, right? And that's really what we're aiming for when it comes to serving the Lord, too. Now, I want to end with this warning. Maybe this tempering of my thought a little bit. Number one, you can't do everything all the time. I know there's some people in here that are just servants, and God, I believe, does equip people with the gift of service specifically, all right? I believe that's a Holy Spirit gifting. And for all of those in here tonight that are like that, I'm not saying you have to do everything all the time, all right? That's not the point of the message. Number two, if you're a servant and you have the spirit of a servant, your weakness is that you would look to others who don't have that spirit or don't see that and become very discouraged or angry, bitter against them. In other words, it's easy for me to come into a service or to the building and look down the row of chairs and see that they're not exactly straight. Who messed this up? That's the wrong spirit. The wrong spirit is, oh, there's some chairs out of place. Let me fix that. Little thing. Okay, so it's easy for a servant to look to the others who are not doing that and become very discouraged or bitter against them. Don't do that. Don't have that wrong spirit. If someone doesn't have it, there needs to be teaching, exampling, and growing, but never bitterness or complaining. And I'll say this as well. As we learn from 2 Chronicles, God equips people in different areas of service. All right, so I mentioned a couple tonight. Brother Perkins' family has been very, very effective, gifted in music. Praise the Lord. The ministry of music has been a blessing. I look at it as, you know, the sons of Asaph back in the Old Testament, man. That's what they did. They were appointed for the songs. They wrote the songs. They performed the songs. They sang the songs. They did it all. Now I'm thankful we have other people involved. Amen. Brother Perkins is too, I'm sure. But praise the Lord. God's gifted in that way. And I guarantee you, if there's something lacking in the music program or something, he's on that because his gifting is to serve in that way. I think Brother Peacock's got a unique gifting when it comes to just the nitty-gritty making things run around here. You know, if the blades on the tractor need to be sharpened, he's on it. Nobody's ever asked him to do that. The belts need to be tightened. Have you ever thought about, who's ever thought about the belts being tightened on the mowers out there? Has anybody ever thought about that before? Do you stay up? A couple of the mower guys, okay. Besides them. I mean, some of us are sitting there, I didn't even know we had that. Right? You got to change the oil on the tractors and change the oil on the vans. And, you know, we got lights out. And he found an obscure box in the back of the church yesterday that had fallen off the side of the building. Anybody been back there and seen that recently? No. Here's what I'm saying. God's equipped him with that spirit of service. But here's what I'm asking. He's like 85 years old. Okay, not quite. Yeah, he feels like it after he finds all this stuff. Who's coming after him? Now, I'm not putting pressure on anybody. I'm just saying we need somebody to have that same spirit that says, this church is something where I can serve, and I'm going to teach my boys how to walk around this building and see nicks in the side of the siding and boxes that are falling off and shingles that need replaced and lights that need to be changed and door handles that need to be fixed and little things that go up and down on the doors that need to be fixed because somebody kicked it off on accident. And, you know, they need to find, we need people to figure out all this stuff. We need people who are going to be service to the church. You know, when you go to wash your hands and you pump that little soap thing and soap comes out, you know, somebody had to put soap in there. And somebody had to empty the garbage, and somebody had to put paper towels in, and somebody had to buy those paper towels and make sure we don't run out. And I praise the Lord for the people who are gifted in this way, walk in the kitchen and say, hey, we need some plates, and we need some cups, and we need stuff, and they just order and it comes, and you guys don't even think about that. Somebody does. Somebody has to think about cleaning, and somebody has to think about the yard, and somebody thinks about the landscape. I praise the Lord for Brother Labasi. He's got this gifting for the landscape. It's awesome. He says, Pastor, we need to do something here. I said, okay, tell me what to do. And he figures it out and talks to some people and makes it happen. What I'm saying is we just need people who are going to be trained like that. Moms and dads, that's the spirit that we need. And maybe your kids won't be gifted at changing the oil, but man, they can vacuum or they can look for. And I don't know what God's going to use them all to do, but we've got to be exampling and instilling the spirit of service because in the work of the Lord, this is what goes on. And we didn't even talk about the spiritual service. I mean, the people that go out soul winning and people that, you know, take care of all of the visitation and bringing people in and teaching classes. And that's all service on another level, a different level. I'm just saying tonight, we need servants. And yes, God gives that at salvation, but we must example that and invest in that as parents and as people of the Lord. Just like Jesus did that night he was up in the upper room. He said, now guys, you've walked with me, you've seen all my miracles, and you know everything that I've taught, but there's one thing you're missing here. You need to learn how to serve. And that's where God, I think, made that impression And we know Peter's response, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You're not going to serve me. The Lord says, yes, I am, because I want to show you what it means to serve. And so Peter learned. And I want to challenge us tonight that we would instill that by our example, by our affections, by our investment in the next generation. And so maybe the Lord has corrected you a little bit in your thinking. Maybe he's corrected you a lot. I'm just saying we need to ask the Lord to help us in these things. And there's so much more we could say. But may the Lord help us to be the right example of these things. And again, this has been kind of a message from my heart tonight. I mean by that, just a burden from things that I just want the Lord to do. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the parents God's given to us, thankful for the kids God's given to us. Isn't it a blessing? But we have a responsibility. We have really a stewardship.